We know agricultural educators.
And we know that the job is hard work.
Here to make your job easy is Owl Pellets, where we are regurgitating information just for you.
Hey, Owl Pellets, this is Brian, Kate, and Marshall here by the Owl Pellet. We are glad to be back with you today. We have a wonderful guest, Dr. Ed Osborne from the University of Florida. Ed, thanks for being with us.
Great to be here.
So Ed has been doing a lot of work looking at resilience and mindset with teachers and really talking about how do we help teachers frame their minds right to help be excited about their jobs and really focus on what they're doing. So Ed, give us a quick synopsis kind of what you're thinking about here with mindset and where we're going to be going with this today.
Okay, Brian. Well, first of all, I think personal resilience is a foundation for all success in teaching. One of the works I've read says that teachers need everyday resilience. And I think from my experience and from all the observations I've had, I would agree with that. And I think teachers would agree with that. And so where does that resilience come from? If a teacher has strong resilience, then they are able to maintain their commitment and their motivation, their effectiveness, their productivity, their confidence. Without that resilience, then they're challenged by those everyday challenges that they experience in their teaching. Some of those occur in their classrooms in a normal day. Some of that occurs in the hallway. Some of that occurs from administrators. But really the question I want to focus on today is, what's the source of that personal resilience? From where does it derive? And I think and believe, and reading the work from Carol Dweck, a Stanford researcher, in her book Mindset, I believe a growth mindset is the foundation for personal resilience.
So can you tell us a little bit about what you mean by resilience, or if a teacher is resilient or looking to be more resilient, what does that mean in the day-to-day? What does that look like? What might I experience, and then how might I be resilient? What does that look like for a teacher?
Sure. So a resilient teacher would be one who, when confronted with challenging circumstances or disruptive events or disruptive change, either acute or chronic, that they maintain this sense of, one, that they, in the midst of all that, they see opportunities for them to continue to grow and be effective. Two, they maintain this confidence in themselves that regardless of how challenging it is, that they will find a way to navigate that circumstance and remain productive. Thirdly, they are able to apply some creative thinking strategies to develop a solution to respond. They have a network that they engage to help them develop those solutions. They can create organization out of that chaos, and they are able to move forward with a plan that may not be perfect, but they've worked it long enough so they know that it has potential. So those are all resilience characteristics. The person who's the leading author in that area calls those resilience muscles. And I think it's a great analogy because if we don't exercise our muscles, they get weak, and our muscles have to work interdependently to get any job accomplished. So I think it's a really good analogy. So those are the dimensions of resilience, and that's what a resilient teacher would do in the face of challenge and change. But then there's another really important concept in terms of how they maintain that, and their energy sources are really, really critical. They have to attend to and maintain their energy sources, their mental, their physical, their emotional, their spiritual energy sources, because those allow them to exercise those muscles.
You've talked about challenges a couple of times, and so can we talk about what do we mean by challenges? Because it's not just the big thing. You talk about everyday resilience and everyday challenges. So what are some things you're talking about that a teacher might experience that we consider challenges?
So if you just think about the life of a teacher, you have students who come in with all kinds of issues. Perhaps they're not motivated. Perhaps they're not getting it in terms of what you're teaching. Perhaps they're not engaged at the level you want them to be. We can think about challenges in terms of and change in terms of what we may initiate in our program. Those are challenges as well. new ideas, new initiatives, new ways to improve the program, new ways to improve our teaching. We can also think about a lot of external challenges, and those are the things that teachers can really be stressed by. And those are new policies, new procedures, new mandates, testing, a new environment, a new culture. One of the factors that's really, really important is the school leader and the extent to which that leader is creating a culture of empowerment and success and effectiveness and positivity. Particularly for early career teachers, what they really need is a school leader primarily who acknowledges their effort and values their contributions. And if the school leaders take time to do that, then that makes all the difference in the world for beginning teachers. But we know that often teachers are isolated, particularly early career teachers are isolated, and they're overwhelmed in terms of the challenges of teaching from a content and a teaching process standpoint. So it's a really a multitude of challenges. I haven't even mentioned community and parent interactions, and sometimes those certainly are challenging as well. So a lot of these can cause a teacher to have self-doubt, to really question, one, whether they can do what they can do, and two, if they're in their, if they're doing really what they should be doing in teaching. So
it sounds a lot like sometimes ag teachers want to be the lone ranger, be out there by themselves doing their own thing, nobody bother them. Sounds like that's really kind of counterproductive to this whole resilience idea.
That really exercises only a couple of those seven dimensions of resilience that I mentioned. That confidence, but they've removed themselves from that social and creative network that they could be a part of. Yeah.
So, Ed, if I'm listening to this, if I'm a teacher listening to this, and I can picture myself, you know, 10 years ago sitting there, and if I were listening to this saying, yeah, but oh my gosh, they're like, it's intimidating. And here I am, the Lone Ranger, but I feel kind of different from the other teachers. I've set this up that I am sort of different than the other teachers. I've worked here for 3 years and haven't really made much of an effort to change those aspects that could help me be more resilient. So do you have any recommendations for teachers if they're listening now and saying, okay, tomorrow I'm going to go in and work on these things? How would someone go ahead and make those first steps to changing those aspects that can help them use those muscles of resilience?
Well, I really think it comes back to the foundational basis of resilience, and I believe that's a growth mindset. And let me share a few ideas about growth mindset, mm-hmm. because I think it really is fundamental and foundational. In Carol Dweck's work, she, through her 20-plus years of research, she found that people's, and mindset is simply one's view of themselves, and she found that people tend to gravitate toward what she calls a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. And those mindsets vary tremendously. For example, some of the descriptors of a growth mindset, that's a person who embraces challenge. So think about this in the context of being resilient as a teacher. Embrace challenge, persist in times of adversity, see effort as the path to mastery. They learn from criticism. They're open to criticism. They're inspired by others' success, conduct honest self-appraisals, have a passion for learning, and believe that potential is unknown and is to be developed and can be developed through effort. And so that describes a person with a growth mindset, and that describes the basis for being resilient. If we take the opposite, the fixed mindset, this is a person who, because of, and I want to mention a few things, how do we develop these mindsets? But because of how, of the messages those people have been sent from their early years all the way up through adulthood about who they are, they tend to be people who avoid challenge. They get defensive when they're criticized. They think their innate talent is enough, and so they shortchange themselves on effort. They ignore feedback. They're threatened by other success, and they work to try to protect their self-image as being smart, talented, capable, gifted. And so Carol Dweck's research has shown that, and also Maddie in his work in Hardiness found that really everyone has a starting genetic point, but really that's very minor in terms of shaping a person's mindset and their resilience. What really is impactful is, and this is what I want to share with the teachers, what's really impactful is, are the messages that teachers and parents send to these kids that they work with in their homes and in their schools. Are they sending messages that praise effort and the process they use to succeed? Are they sending messages that say, you're intelligent, you're smart, you're gifted, you're naturally athletic and academically talented? If they send those latter messages, they tend to create a fixed mindset, and then we tend to own that as our image, and then we tend to protect that, and then we don't venture out and grow from that. So really, really important set of ideas for teachers. And I think teachers are mostly unaware of the messages they send and how harmful they can be in terms of creating this fixed mindset versus what is obviously much, much better is a growth mindset.
Dr. Osborne, I know looking at that text, Dweck really makes this connection from our attitude transferring over to our students' attitudes, and even talks about as a parent, how we look at things affect them. And one thing she said is she makes clear why praising our children's intelligence and ability doesn't foster self-esteem and lead to accomplishment, but it may actually jeopardize success. With the right mindset, we can motivate our kids and help them to improve in school as well as reach our own goals, personal and professional. How does this transcend? How does our mindset as a teacher then bridge to the mindset of our students? And I'm thinking ag education and our career development events and how we perform in those classes. How do you see that bridge happening that Dweck talks about?
That's a great question. I think first and foremost, a couple of things. One, teachers and parents, but we'll focus on teachers. Teachers need one, to be aware of the messages they're sending, listening to themselves talk when they interact with students. And secondly, they need to model these growth mindset characteristics. They need to help students see that they're continuing to learn as a teacher. They don't know all there is to know, both in content and in teaching, that they, like everyone else, are confronted with challenge, but they embrace that. They know change is a part of life, and they have to proactively work through it. And a big part of it, I think, is effort. And I think, so a lot of these things, I think teachers need to role model these growth mindset characteristics, and then they need to intentionally teach the students to adopt this mindset themselves and focus on effort and not innate ability, and focus on creativity and unknown potential, and say to the kids, I believe in your potential, and I'm going to work with you to discover and develop that potential. We don't know what it is, but together, while we're together, I'm going to help you discover and develop that. And so I think how another important piece is how we help kids interpret success or failure. And both positive and negative labels can have detrimental effects. They both can create a fixed mindset. So the message really ought to always be, even if they're very successful, the message ought to be, look, you won, look how great you are, but the message ought to be, look how hard you worked to achieve this, and look what you did to bring this success to yourself. And I think that's the biggest key message.
Well, I look at the things too. I mean, it's important for all teachers when we're talking to our students, but I'm seeing here this your list of fixed and growth mindset characteristics here on how we talk with our pre-service and our early career teachers as they're trying to go through here to kind of, because this growth mindset is something that can be developed. All of us can develop it. Yes. And those, whether it's veteran teachers or mentor teachers or university folks or state leaders or whoever, we've got to be making sure that we're saying the right things and be careful what we're talking about to help develop this growth mindset idea with those early career folks so that they can help get that growth mindset and build that resilience to help them continue on. So what's something with the mentor teachers, what are some things that we can be doing?
That's definitely a great point. That brings to mind the notion of capacity. Resilience is the capacity to maintain your productivity, motivation, And so we know capacity can be enhanced, it can be developed. So it's a really important point that we're not born with a certain level of resilience and that's it. It certainly can be developed over time, and mindset is the same thing. It's shaped by our environment and our interactions. The other piece about how mindset is developed, which I failed to mention earlier, it's not only the messages, but the other really, really important piece is those who have a growth mindset have been shown to have been given responsibilities early in life that they can learn from, be challenged by, and their parents teach them from their experience and those responsibilities as opposed to protecting them. And we see a lot of, in fact, college students today who arrive to campus, they've sort of been in a bubble and they've been overprotected, and that creates a fixed mindset.
Well, and I just think, Dr. Osborne, as I hear that and think about an ag teacher, and I can just hear us coming home from a parliamentary procedure contest where we got sixth. And what's the conversation in the car from the kids and from us? Is our first response, man, we've got to work harder. We got beat because this other group worked harder. They worked, you know, they studied more. Or, you know, a lot of times you'll hear, well, that contest, I can't believe they put that motion in that place. Or I can't believe they put the class that way. They've got to quit doing that. So I think as an ag teacher, our kids are really watching us, how we respond in all these situations. Was it a product of the contest that we can't control, or was it a product of our effort and our performance? So as an ag teacher, I can hear a lot of ag teacher talk in the bus or the truck, trying to make sense of all these experiences and trying to get students to agree that it's an effort mindset, not the fixed mindset.
Yes, exactly right. And it's a mental shift, honestly, for a lot of teachers, because we're a competitive nature in a lot of ways.
Well, I see this thing too. I'm thinking about just SAEs and FFA and hearing these things, and you look back at people that did this for me, my high school ag teacher. I can see now all the times back 1,000 years ago when I was in high school where he put us in a spot where it was us and our hard work had to go through to do this, and there were times when we failed. And he let us fail safely. I mean, we didn't know the other thing, the background that he was doing, but how, and then help us realize, okay, well, that event didn't go real well. You didn't plan that right, or that visit didn't go well, or that event contest didn't go well. But it's really how do you help people figure that out? And I think SAEs provide a great opportunity for us to be really working with our students on an individual basis to help them really see the fruits of their efforts.
Yeah.
And be careful to say that, hey, you did so well on that test because you're so smart. It's you did so well on that because you worked really, really hard.
Yeah.
And that project was really, really successful. You won that proficiency because you worked really, really hard.
Dr. Osborne, you mentioned something about parents and how this is taught to kids from a very early age. So we see them get to high school, right? And they've had their parents' influence and perhaps have developed that fixed mindset. And we see them, you know, and it's hard for teachers to, is it possible for them to change that, right? Or do you just write them off at that point and say, and we see that a lot, like, well, their parents have already kind of ruined them, so I can't do anything in the 9 months that I have with them. Is there any hope? Should we put that effort to try and change them from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset when their parents have worked that kind of the other direction until they've gotten to us?
Absolutely, it can be changed. A fixed mindset is only fixed if those surrounding circumstances remain the same. And so a teacher certainly can change and influence and reshape that mindset. Of course, if they continue to get those same negative messages at home, that's going to be a lot harder for you to counter that at school when you're working with that student. But I think that's the opportunity, that's the responsibility. The students come to us with lots of things. I often said it's unrealistic for teachers, well, really for policymakers, to expect kids to leave all their baggage at the door when they come into the classroom. There are so many things in their lives, and some of those impede learning to a great extent. And this is one of those things, and there are many other things too. I'm reminded of an article in the Captain magazine long ago, probably 10 or 12 years ago. It featured 12 high school kids who had grown up in really tough neighborhoods, really tough schools. And somehow they were all boys. These boys had risen above, and they had excelled academically and leadership roles in their schools, and they were creating a future pathway for themselves. And the one common denominator with all those 12 boys in those tough circumstances was they all said they had one person in their life that was their supporter, their champion, their nurturer, their caregiver, and in most cases it was their grandmother. But teachers can make a huge difference here. If we just open ourselves up to teaching and empowering and providing the support and resources versus criticizing and judging and labeling, both in positive and negative ways. If we can step away from that and just remember the basic idea that potential, everyone's potential, is unknown, and through effort, it'll be developed. And we need to challenge them with problem solving and decision making activities so they get that experience. And then we need to send the right messages that are focused on effort.
Well, Ed, this is fantastic stuff. You know, we look here, I can't help but when we talk about and think about mindset and resilience, you know, one of the big issues we're facing is finding ag teachers and keeping ag teachers. And I see this as being a big part of how do we help make sure that our teachers going in have this growth mindset and build these resilience characteristics to kind of help them be part of this job or really any kind of job or career that's out there right now. And I think this is really important for all of us, teachers and university folks alike. And I think the big piece here you've seen is that really the focus on effort is what leads to success, and this idea you talk about potential. And this is going to be something that not only can help us when we're teaching our students, but it's something that helps us as teachers to be focusing on and really shows the need that we need to take care of our own, that as ag teachers, we need to be more supportive out there. I'm looking at things, you know, this fixed mindset characteristics of avoiding challenges or feel threatened by others' success. Well, as Marshall talked about, somebody else wins a CD or somebody else does something, we talk bad about them rather than being inspired by that success and saying, oh man, they worked hard, so we just got to work harder than that, and we can kind of have that big success. And so this is a great conversation. We look forward to continuing it. Any last thoughts that you have for us about this idea of growth mindset?
Well, I'll share just one last example that's in the mindset book. Michael Jordan, everyone knows Michael Jordan. He was cut from his high school varsity basketball team, went home, and his mom said, you need to go discipline yourself to do the work that you need to do to make yourself successful if this is what you want to be really good at. And what a great growth mindset message. And Michael Jordan was known as one of the hardest working athletes of any sport ever. And, you know, he was at the top of his game. He walked away from basketball. He went to baseball. He came back. He kind of thought he could get right into basketball and be dominant again. And he was not as good as he was before. And the Bulls didn't do that well, his Chicago Bulls. And he is quoted as saying after that season, I mean, here's Michael Jordan. He said, I will work as hard as I've ever worked in my life to regain what I know I need to bring to the court every game. Mm-hmm. And so next 3 years, the Chicago Bulls won the NBA title. So no matter where you are in your life stage, whether you're young, an adult, a teacher, whatever, I think you can refocus and re-embrace that effort mindset, and that'll lead you to a growth mindset, which will bring you a resilient ability to respond to all these changes.
Fantastic stuff. Well, Ed, again, thank you so much for being here. These are some really practical things that all of us can do. Ag teachers can put into practice, as Kate Marshall said, they can show up tomorrow to do to start building this growth mindset to really help them focus better on being successful in their career and honestly enjoying their job more.
Right.
And we thank you for that. So, Dr. Ed Osborne, we appreciate you being here with us today. Hopefully, all of you out there found this to be helpful as we did. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Leave us a comment on iTunes. Send us a message about more topics that you want us to talk about here on Owl Pellets. So, for Kate Marshall, this is Brian by the Owl Pellets saying thank you. Keep doing a great job.
We know agricultural educators.
And we know that the job is hard work.
Here to make your job easy is Owl Pellets, where we are regurgitating information just for you.